Blog Talk Radio.
We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters.
What up, what up, what up? This is your boy, Agent Reese, and you're tuning in once again to The Recruit, brought to you by SOAR Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson, for putting us on, giving us an opportunity. And as we start every week, every show, we're going to go to God in prayer. So everybody out there tuned in, if you would, bow your head, let's go to God and let's pray. Father God, we come to you now. Thank you, God, for another day, another opportunity to glorify your name. We ask you to lead this conversation, lead everything that's said on the show, everyone that's listening in, Father God, so that you may be felt, you may be heard, you may be glorified, God. And in all in all, God, you do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Yes. And this show is a bit different from others, but I've got my co-host here with me. She's not a guest. She's a regular. She is my co-host, truly, not just on this show, but in life. My beautiful wife, Michonne. Say what's up, baby.
Hey, guys.
That's her signature introduction. Hey, guys. But, you know, it's just us two on the show. And as you guys can see or may have heard, there is no topic for tonight's show. It's something that I really honestly feel like God was leading me to do. Because just in praying about the show and always praying about the show and the topic to talk about and the guests to have on, God was in kind of being quiet. And it's almost like he was really what's been on my heart over the last couple of weeks is just I need to slow down. God's really been putting that in my face to slow down and not try to be so busy that I'm failing to really hear from him. And so just even in doing from that to just allow the spirit to lead the show, because that is the heart of this show, that it is not only founded, grounded in God's truth, but led by his spirit. And so that's what this show is about, especially on tonight, that we're just going to allow God to lead the conversation and just having my co-host on, my beautiful, lovely, amazing, gorgeous, astounding wife, Michonne, just having her own, it just makes it all that much better. Truly having someone, not just a co-host, but a life partner, who truly understands the Holy Spirit and how to allow the Holy Spirit to work so that we, because we can't control everything. And, you know, that's just, that's the overall gist of tonight's show, but it's just really whatever y'all lays on our heart. And
I think, I mean, even in talking about and getting ready for the show and you kind of talking about the Lord kind of quieting your heart and quieting your spirit, I kind of feel like I'm in the same season and in the same place. And even before we called in, you were talking about Mary and Martha and how Martha was so busy serving God that she forgot to sit at his feet and truly gleaning from the Holy Spirit and what Jesus had to say, and how sometimes the Lord just wants us, you know, to sit at his feet, and that is what's most important to him, is that we are truly investing in our relationship with him and that we're growing so that we can serve out of an overflow. Because when we, you know, are tempted to take so much on our own plate, you know, even things that God has led us to, we then try to start acting in our own strength. you know, and it's so easy. God'll give us, you know, a calling, or he'll give us an assignment, and just as quick, you know, we'll say, thank you, God. We'll pick it up and we'll run and try to do it ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to continuing to seek him each and every moment of every day to see how he wants to orchestrate it, who he wants to touch through it, you know. So I'm definitely in that place of seeking what God has next and in all the areas that he's currently using me and using us. Just kind of asking him, what do you want, you know?
And that's, with us both being in that place, I honestly believe that there's other people in that place as well, which is why God really kind of orchestrated the show this way tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whoever it may be, it's not for me to know, but God knows.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody out there that's kind of in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you mentioned, we were talking about before, Mary and Martha, and for all of those out there who kind of want to know, if you look in Scripture, it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 39 through 42, I believe, where it shares a story about Jesus going to Martha's house and her sister being there, and Martha's running around, you know, preparing for Jesus for dinner, I believe, and she's just really busy.
Mm-hmm.
But her sister Mary just simply sat at Jesus' feet,
mm-hmm.
and just was listening, and as Michonne gleaming and taking in, you know, what I can only assume to be just wisdom and knowledge, and just gleaning everything she can. And that really applies to so many of us,
mm-hmm.
to where we can get busy and get caught up, to where we're doing things that may be God-honoring,
mm-hmm.
in a sense of serving, whether it's in the church and choir and whatever type of ministry, but we're so busy that we don't give leave opportunity for the Holy Spirit to really, for us to hear from the Holy Spirit.
And I think, too, sometimes like for me, I definitely have to do a serious heart check, because after a while I have to ask myself, okay, if I'm not really building my relationship with the Lord, but I'm still doing all this stuff in his name, quote unquote, who am I doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I doing it for other people's affirmation, and, you know, am I idolizing other people's applause? And if that's the case, then it's almost like God is so gracious to give you a heart check right in the middle of you serving and looking like you're so down for God. And, you know, it's very easy, because we're born again and we're believers, and God has given us a new heart, but he's still working out, you know, all the sin nature that has built up over the years. So that's, I mean, it's just been really cool to see God, to see God show me time and time and time again when, you know, I've been just so devoted to my quiet time and so devoted to just hearing from him and just sitting with him, and then comparing those times to the times where I'm just crazy busy, like,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in the church or in the community, and I just feel so distant from him. And I'm like, God, what is going on? You know, I'm doing all this stuff for you, and I heard this song. It's like, it's not about the stuff. It's about the relationship. I want you, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then I can show you little by little without overwhelming you or overburdening you what I've called you to do. And so, yeah.
And it's in Psalms 46 and 10, it tells us to, in God placing Luke, the story of Martha and Mary on my heart, and kind of reading up on that, my mind immediately went to be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Psalms 46 and 10. And, you know, there's so many, I mean, that's the most challenging thing, is to literally be still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the time I can remember when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
up until now, that's always been hard. like, be still. You know, my parents said, just be still. Just chill, just relax. And that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Like, I hated the choir game. She got to sit there, you can't say nothing. And I'm like, well, nah, okay, I lost. Let's do something else.
No,
but,
that's what you talk so much.
See, that's why. And God's still working on me, y'all.
But I'm just the quiet
game. Yeah, I'm still working on it, y'all. But I'm just sitting at Jesus' feet right now. Be quiet. But it's challenging to just simply be still because we want to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We and a lot of times, just speaking on my me personally, like doing things makes me feel like I'm help. I want to help. I want to assist in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And
make you feel like you earned it. Kinda. No?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it makes me feel like I earned it, but I guess in a way it makes me feel like I can speed up the process if I do something. Like, but, you know, God needs no help.
Right.
It's like, it's, regardless of what I do, it's only going to go in His time and anyway.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's more so me personally, my reason for trying to, like, participate.
Right.
And do something is because I feel like, okay, if I'm just sitting back doing nothing, then, you know, it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
I want it now. I want it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And so what can I do? And then, you know, God may not answer me right then and show me what I can do. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. This kind of go with it.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, that's kind of, you know, my reasoning behind trying to do my part. But what would you say if those times when you find yourself doing too much or, I guess, getting ahead of God, the reasoning behind that?
I think for me the heart of it is pride, you know.
What? You got pride issues?
I mean, just being honest, one of my mentors said the root of every sin is either pride or lust.
What?
And lust is not necessarily sexual. Lust is lust for attention, lust
mm-hmm.
for affection, anything that you will give or do anything for
yeah.
so that you receive
compromise
it. Compromise for, you'll sin for, you know, that lust.
Mm-hmm.
And so, So I would say that mine is pride because the word literally says that we have been made complete in Christ, it's done, you know, all we have to do is accept. And I actually wrote on our mirror, Lord, teach me to accept, you know, what you've given and not try to earn it. And that's why I say, do you try to earn it? Because I feel like that's me. I will literally try to earn God's love, His affection, His, you know, affirmation. I will try to earn it, and it's not something that I can earn. So it's pride in that I think I know better than God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pride in that I think I can figure it out, and I'm like itching for this feeling of when He's already given it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes that's why I hustle and bustle and kind of get lost in things, is when I'm not resting in His promise. And I had this screen, this picture on my phone, like a screenshot, and it says, when I forget my value in Christ, I begin to hustle for my worth. And so from people to my husband to, you know, finances, whatever it is, looking everywhere else for your worth that's not in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's what I say.
And that's pretty profound. That quote you just said, like you said, your screensaver. What was it again? When you
forget your value in Christ, you start hustling for your worth.
And that's kind of the nature of society today, is to hustle harder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times if you get down to the root of it, we are actually hustling for an identity we long for.
Yeah.
That most times is outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why I say that's kind of profound, just because a lot of times that's the root of it.
And I even and this might be kind of a long-winded thing, but just to kind of give you an example.
Take your time.
Just to kind of give an example of how I have kind of steered away from God's leading. One example is like my friendship. I felt like at a point, you know, getting married, your friendships change, you know, mm-hmm. the time that you're able to spend with your friends and all of that, the dynamic just changes because you now have this marriage and you have this other person that God has entrusted to you, so it changes. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a season change. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I felt like I had began to try to overcompensate to even to the point where I was like trying to put it on my calendar. Okay, I need to text this friend this day, call this friend this day. And it shouldn't even be all that, you know. And I went to one of my discipleship groups last Friday, and they were just talking about being a Maria. And Maria means to be a trusted friend and companion, and it's what God has taught us to be towards one another. And he's called us to disciple each other. And my mentor was like, you know, God has called us to make disciples, not acquaintances. And it really kind of struck me, and I was like, you know, am I making disciples within my friendships, or am I making acquaintances? You know, am I so busy trying to maintain the number that I'm not allowing the Lord to direct this season and the people who are supposed to be in my life and what I'm supposed to be pouring into them and what they're supposed to be pouring into me? Or am I so busy trying to cultivate all of these quote-unquote friends and acquaintances because it makes me feel better, you know? And the Lord just kind of slapped me with his word, and I was just like, if I'm not really being intentional and helping my friends and redirecting them to Christ, and if I'm not allowing them to do the same for me, if I'm not being authentic, and if I'm not being accountable and holding them accountable, allowing them to hold me accountable, then God doesn't really call that a friend. You know, we think about the apostles and the disciples and the relationships that they had. They all discipled each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they grew closer to the Lord because of their relationship with each other. And even my mother-in-law, your mom, was talking a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, and she was talking she was talking about Paul and Aquila and Priscilla.
What? Aquila and Priscilla?
And this really spoke to my heart. Listen back. This really spoke to my heart because Aquila and Priscilla didn't want Paul to leave. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to stay where they were, and it really spoke to me because Paul was like, no, I have to go and be about the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was so consumed with trying to make, not that they weren't friends anymore, but trying to stay and maintain this friendship.
Yeah, maintain the relationship.
Yeah, and all of that, then his purpose would have been no more, because the opinion of Aquila and Priscilla would have been more important than the opinion of God and the calling he had on his life. And I was even talking to another girlfriend, and we were like, she was like, I don't know if I have the capacity to love on another friend. I just have so many that I'm trying to keep up with. And I don't think it's supposed to, and we talked through it and we agreed, and we were like, we don't think it's supposed to be that way. You know, we really truly feel like God puts people in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime, like you told me earlier today. And so that's kind of one of the ways that in my life I got so busy trying to control what God had given me himself. He entrusted me with friends. He entrusted me with people in my life, not to just text and like their Facebook posts, but people to disciple, people to redirect to him, people that he's entrusted to me that I'm supposed to be authentic with, that I'm supposed to hold accountable. And instead of trying to have 2,000 plus friends on Facebook, which is not me, but just kind of in a real life idea, trying to have all these people, you know, and trying to be everything for everybody, we're not supposed to be. We're not called to be. Even Jesus had certain people that he healed and certain people that he left for the apostles to come and do their work. So that's kind of a real life situation the Lord literally gave me revelation probably a day or two ago and just gave me such peace over my heart and over my life. So now when I meet with each friend, I ask the Lord, Lord, show me how you want me to give my rate up to this girl or to this guy. Show me how you want me to pour into them, to allow them to hold me accountable, be authentic with them, and redirect them to you, because that's what God calls a friend, and that is a good use of my time, mm-hmm. you know, not talking on the phone for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that time anymore. I'm married.
You sure, Lord?
So.
Say that one more time.
I'm married now.
She's married now. But like she said, she called, told me I talked a lot before, but then she's going to say, I'm going to be long-winded. But that's beside the point. I just want to point that out.
It was a big revelation that God gave me, and I needed to share it. The Holy Spirit put on my heart.
and I appreciate it. And you said a lot of good things, and even just like you said in your friendship, a lot of times you honestly us understanding what being a friend really means.
Yeah.
Like he pointed out about the disciples, they spent time together, they went through things together, they did life together, they experienced life together, they struggled together, and they all had their own separate sin issues.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said before, it's not about liking everybody's Facebook posts or their pictures that they post or calling and talking to them every day, checking in, texting them, and all it is, because I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about how even in doing that, you can talk to somebody every single day, but you're talking about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while, you run out of stuff to talk about. Then you just, it turns into gossip. It wasn't you. good try, baby. But after a while, it turns into gossip, and you're really not talking about anything worth talking about.
Yeah.
But if you have a friend where you only talk every week or every 2 weeks or maybe even once a month, but every time you talk, you're really going deep. And you're talking about not just, you don't have to literally talk about the Bible every time you're on the phone, but you're sharing about your life. You're sharing, being vulnerable.
Godly principle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything has a godly undertone.
Yeah.
And it's that's a real friendship.
Yeah.
That's what a friendship is meant to be. It's not about, you know, well, I hadn't talked to you in 3 days, ain't much happened. What's happened today? And you can't tell me nothing that's happened in 3 days, so what did you need to talk to me about? Like, just, but a lot of times nowadays, that's what we contribute to being a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, she check on me every day, mm-hmm. or he always hit me up every day, but he ain't talking about that. So he really kind of getting on the nerves. And but at the same time, just realizing and understanding what a friend is. And you talked about Quilla and Priscilla, and I was trying to remember that name earlier, and I was talking to my homeboy, Simeon. Shout out to Simeon. But you were talking about Paul and Quilla and Priscilla and how they wanted him to stay. They felt such a close relationship with him.
Yeah.
They didn't want to part ways with him.
Yeah.
They wanted him to remain with them and stay longer, but even in that Sunday school lesson, like you were talking about, we kind of talked about it afterwards in the car, that Paul simply said no, and he didn't bother to give a reason why.
Yeah.
He simply said no, I can't,
mm-hmm.
and he left it at that. It wasn't for him. He didn't feel the need to try to validate it.
Mm-hmm.
He just simply said no, and he left it at that. That wasn't what God was leading him to do. He knew that wasn't in line with what God had called him to do, but that's something that I know me personally, I've struggled with, and, you know, still sometimes struggle with, in saying no to people and feeling like I need to give them a reason why. Well, no, I can't do that. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. Or no, I can't do this. You know, I got this going on. But how I don't have to feel bad about saying no.
Yeah.
Not doing it in a mean or unloving way, but simply just saying no and allowing God to validate it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it could be one of those situations where I say no, or I tell somebody I can't make it, then 2 weeks later they come back, oh, well, I'm glad you said no, because so-and-so end up coming over and popping up, and this wouldn't have worked out, and that's God validating.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we want to try to make excuses for what requires no excuse
yeah.
or validate it. Allow God to validate it. Mm-hmm. And so although your story was long-winded, a lot of good things came from it. But it is something that I honestly feel like everybody can benefit from, just what being a friend really needs.
Mm-hmm.
And how even in that, it's not something you earn.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we want to earn. We want to do things to make it feel like, oh, well, I know I'm a good friend.
Yeah.
But really, does the other person know you're a good friend?
Mm-hmm.
And some of my best friendships are people that I may talk to every other month.
Yeah.
But when we talk, it's like we pick up right where we left off.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing about living a life in Christ. As you are, that and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and being still long enough for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, is that those revelations like that come.
And, you know, I heard someone say once before that good things always have the opportunity or always have the possibility of becoming bad things. So if you put good things on such a pedestal, you know, whether it's friendships or whether it's a marriage or whether it's TV or, you know, whatever, working out, you know, it doesn't start out as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out as, oh, this is a good thing. It's not, you know,
convenient
to God or anything like that. But it can become a God thing when you look to it for your worth, when you look to it for your validation, you know, and saying, hey, this is not everything. I'm your everything, you know. And
so when you say a God thing, are you meaning like an idol God?
Yeah, like idolatry.
Oh, okay.
Like, any good thing can, if we put it above God, can become a God thing.
Oh, okay.
Like where we look to it as opposed to God, you
okay.
know. We look,
I was just playing about kind of
okay. Well, we look to, like, if I look to you or if I look to our marriage
yeah.
or if I look to my friendships or whatever, for my joy, for my peace, for my hope, you know, it didn't start out as a bad thing. It started out, a lot of our sin issues, a lot of our idolatry doesn't start out as bad things. They start out as good things, but they become ultimate,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so then they become God things,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what God is meant for them to be.
And that's good. I had never heard that, never really thought about it, but just in kind of thinking back, you know, I think that's true on a lot of levels, that most things that become idols in our lives, they just start out as
they were originally just good
yeah,
things.
Yeah, just good things, good, decent,
mm-hmm.
wholesome things.
Yeah.
But then when you really indulge yourself into it and allow it to consume you,
mm-hmm.
then it becomes a God thing. And the same can be said about relationships, about friendships.
And the same thing can be said about working in the church. I mean, we all know those people who work diligently in the church, and this may have been some people, but work diligently in the church, but their relationship with the Lord and the way that they treat people, the way that they love on people, the way that they forgive people does not reflect the Word of God or what God has directed us to do. So even working in the church, apart from the right heart
yeah.
and the Holy Spirit, becomes something that can pull you from God
mm-hmm.
as opposed to pushing you towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we are going to, you know, we see a lot of that. I feel like I was there. I was very
busy.
No, I was very legalistic in a lot of ways.
What?
Trying to earn my God's affections. And so, you know, fortunately, the Lord showed me really quickly, look, you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could have easily, and it probably at one point did, become so much of, I got to do this,
mm-hmm.
to get my affirmation. And to
Martha.
Yes, I was Martha.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't really seeking a relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, it was like filthy rags. It was nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you said it, like, just like working in the church can become an idol. And you know, just because we talked about it before, the story of Martha and Mary, you know, Martha was busy running around preparing everything
mm-hmm.
for Jesus, and Mary simply sat down and sat at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And although Martha was what she was doing, he was for Christ,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't spending time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most times, that's what really, that's what Christ desires most
mm-hmm.
from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spend some time with him.
Yeah.
You know, develop a relationship. And I can venture to think, my mind, kind of my imagination ventures to think that when it came down to time to literally sit and eat,
mm-hmm.
who was closer to Jesus? Mm-hmm. Was it Martha or Mary? Because Martha was running around doing all these things, but Mary was there sitting and listening and probably at some point or another asking questions or gleaning from him in all of those ways
uh-huh.
and really getting closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ desires from us is a relationship.
Yeah.
Just simply spend some time with me. And when you get when people get caught up in doing,
mm-hmm.
although what you're doing on the outside looks to be, okay, God-honoring, but is it God-honoring or is it self-serving?
And then when it is God honoring and when it's Holy Spirit led, we don't feel so bogged down.
Yeah.
You know, we don't feel so heavy and so burdened. Like the work for the Lord is not always. It's not supposed to feel burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we lean and depend on the Holy Spirit for strength, and so it's not scripture. But I feel like when things start to become burdensome, when things start to become stressful, when we start to feel like, oh, I got to do this again, I feel like that's kind of a time to take to really do a heart check.
Yeah,
and
because
like,
God is God of peace.
Yeah, and he gives us strength to do the things that he's called us to do. And so if we're feeling weak and weary and burdened, then that's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would venture to say that we have either taken on too much or we've taken on something without God's strength
mm-hmm.
behind it, that we're not praying for him to lead us, we're not praying for him to carry us in it, we're just trying to carry it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I just to add to that, I think one other reason may be we've forgotten the why
mm-hmm.
behind
yep.
behind what we do,
for sure.
behind why we started doing what we do, and just I'm not going to be as long-winded as you, but on note with that, y'all don't see how she's looking at me right now, but okay, we made it. But sometimes we forget the why. And even with this show, my blog, I was getting to a point where it was becoming heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really stepped back, and God really put on my heart. It's like God was putting in my face, slow down. And I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to slow down, but I don't know how I'm going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even so much that I was taking on too much. I started stepping back and looking, okay, well, do I need to continue on with the blog? Or do I need to keep going with the show? Do I need to kind of shut it down? Has it run its course? But it's just simply, it's not that God has given me too much, because I know there's no doubt in my mind. God led me. God gave me this opportunity. He gave me the opportunity to write a blog. But just like you said, we all have a cross to carry. That's what the Bible tells us. But me being in fitness and working in fitness, I realize in carrying loads, it's not so much about the amount of weight, but in the form and the way you carry it
mm-hmm.
to where it can become painful. You know, it becomes burdensome. And I feel like that's kind of where I was getting when it came to this show. When it came to my blog, God really had him to tell me to, hey, slow down. I was in Martha's shoes, in a sense, of doing stuff, but failing to be still
mm-hmm.
and hear from God and just allow the Spirit to give me peace on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So where I may not do as much, but everything I do is led by God and it's done with the right heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it may be the why. We've lost sight of the why behind what we do, and then it becomes burdensome. And that's something that every now and then we need to sit back and ask ourselves, why did I start this? and really examine, okay, why did I do this in the first place? Or why did I make this decision in the first place? And then go from there. Because in a sense, that's a reality check, and it keeps us humble to show us that took it on with the right heart and with the right mindset, and God led us. It shows us that, okay, I'm not doing this for me. This is a God thing, you know, not in an idolatrous sense, but I'm doing this for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about me. So it doesn't matter how many likes I get on or how many people tune in or how many people share my post, but it's all about the ones who read it that I may not even know about that hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to hear from me because I heard my friend Simeon shared a quote with me, shout out again, but he shared a quote with me and said that I can be a mentor, but I can't be a savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that really hit me because in some relationships, I was trying to take the savior role instead of just simply being a friend, not even a mentor, but just a friend. And God can only be a savior.
Right.
That's not my role. But I think, you know, there may be other people out there who can kind of relate to that, that it's not, sometimes we lose focus on what our role is.
Yeah.
And we try to take on the role of savior when we're not meant to be a savior.
Right.
We're not even meant to be a mentor. Sometimes we're meant to be a mentee or just a friend or just a listening ear who's sitting at someone else's feet and listening to them, not as if they're God, but just because they have wisdom to impart on.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's a lot of pride that we have to die to, like you said before.
Daily.
I have to die daily. And yeah, it seems like you got a lot of pride going on over there. You say, well, yeah, we got to die daily. But it is. We do have to die daily to pride. Every single day, we have to die to our pride and to our ego and just really understand that it's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about God and what He's wanting to do in whatever it's going on. And so it's just one of those things that we just have to always remind ourselves and be sure to ask ourselves, okay, why am I doing this in the first place?
And it reminds me of the scripture that literally says, search my heart. You know, ask the Lord to, I think it's in Psalms. I might be wrong, but I think it's in Psalms where it says, search my heart. And the Lord is faithful to do just that and to reveal when we're truly honest and we truly have a genuine heart for the Lord to come in and show us our flaws and show us where we still have opportunities for growth. He will. He'll show it to you so quick your head will spin, but then that's God's grace. You know, God's grace is not always saving you from a car wreck. That's God's grace too, but God's grace sometimes is just showing you how you're missing the mark so that you won't have to walk in that way, to show you how you've been saved and freed from sin. So you don't have to make that choice. You know, every choice that we make either draws us closer to God or pushes us further from God. And I think when we know that and we can really take the decisions that we make day in and day out to heart, whether it's being kind to a coworker, whether it's talking behind a supervisor's back, whether it's, you know, bringing cookies to the office and not just for a pat on the back, but so that people can really start wondering what is different about Susan. You know, she's always so kind. She always brings cookies. She's always blah, 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 to the point where people may even start asking you, what's wrong with you? Why are you so, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like God gives us plenty of opportunities, and even in relationships sometimes I think we're very fearful about being hurt and very, very fearful and very kind of self-protect, and to the extent where when God shows us what to do or He directs us or He tells us to do something, we avoid it because it exposes us too much. It puts us out there on the front line too much instead of trusting and resting and knowing that He will be our ultimate protection.
And He will, like you said, He will be our ultimate protection. And it's, I mean, even as you were talking, as you were saying that, my mind was just kind of going to how God humbles us.
Mm-hmm.
He humbles us. We have to really be in tune with the Spirit in order to recognize Him humbling us.
Mm-hmm.
Because He'll humble us to where only we can recognize it first.
Right.
But if we don't take heed to it, then He will bring us to open shame.
Yeah.
And God has really been humbling me in a sense of just not getting caught up in self.
Mm-hmm.
And truly every aspect, to where every aspect, making sure that every aspect of my life is God-honored. And something that, you know, you tell me all the time that I'm competitive. I am competitive. I don't think I'm overly competitive. But, you know, God has really been opening my eyes to how even in me, in playing sports or in doing anything competitively, there comes a line that I can't cross
mm-hmm.
to where it begins to affect my wits. And, you know, I love basketball and just started getting back into playing basketball. And just even in playing basketball, you know, sometimes in sports I talk noise, I talk trash. It's kind of always been something I did. But God's been throwing it in my face and really bringing it to my attention of, okay, if I'm playing basketball and I'm talking noise and talking trash and saying all these things on the court, you know, I never curse or anything like that, but you know, I don't have to say that for things not to be godly.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything I'm saying on the court, how can I minister to anybody that I play basketball against after, which, because they're going to be looking at me like, man, you said all this stuff on the court talking trash and now you want to invite me to church?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, just God humbling me in that sense and opening my eyes to, hey, even on the basketball court, your game needs to be God-honored. You know, I can still be competitive and it not affect my witness. And I used to always chalk that up to, well, that's just part of the game. That's just part of sports, you know. But at the end of the day, if I'm making somebody feel bad by talking trash to them and then afterwards they shut me off or turn a deaf ear to me and wanting to hear when I'm talking about Christ, then my witness has been affected to the point where I need to do something different. And that's really just something that God's been kind of putting on my heart and dealing with me on, just in everything you do. Make sure it's honoring me. And it's right in my eyes. And I don't really, that may not resonate with a lot of people, but that's just something that, you know, it was hard for me to understand. That, okay, this ain't just a part of sports. Like, I really do need to kind of tone it down and stop looking for self-glorification in sports. I need to take the same humble attitude that I try to have in glory to God and prayer in doing everything that I do. I need to take that same thing and playing basketball or playing anything, playing who knows. I mean, I'm not really a competitor, you know, that's just according to the show. But just in everything that I do, be humble and have the mindset of Christ and resemble Christ, because everything I do affects my witness.
So I wanted to do something, too, because I think it's the end of the year, and the entire year you as a host have been interviewing people. And through you, we've gotten a chance to know so many people. So for like 5 minutes, this is probably the last one of the last shows of the year. And so I want to give the audience an opportunity to know you, the host, a little bit more. So in these short questions, I request short answers.
What you trying to say? I'll talk a lot.
All right. So, Adrian, host of The Recruit, what are your favorite Christmas traditions back home with your family? Do you have any Christmas traditions that you enjoy?
Christmas tradition? Why are you putting me on the spot? But I guess Christmas traditions I enjoy were, and we haven't done this last couple of years, but going down to my papa's house on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go down there like early Christmas Eve. Either we'd be done about that around 9 o'clock. But we go down there, all of my family, we go there and just kind of sit around and have fun, and we play some type of Bible trivia or something like that. But this is a time, it was something that I've always done there since I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when exactly it started, but it's always been something that was done. And it was just a time when all family came together. Some people would swap gifts,
mm-hmm.
but it was just a time when we got together and just laughed and made jokes and had fun and ate food. But it just really felt like Christmas. Some year, you know, being in Texas, sometimes it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
But my papa, every time it's August, he's going to have a fire going.
Mm-hmm.
And we would literally have to open the door because we're sweating, but he's going to have a fire going. So that's kind of what I think about when I think about Christmas and Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so question number two. How do you stay passionate when you're having a dry spell in your quiet time?
You're giving a hard question for short answers.
How do you stay passionate, or how do you press through?
How do I press through and stay passionate? I think it's kind of like what we were just talking about, remembering the why.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of looking at the why and really just being sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Being sincere in my prayer,
mm-hmm.
in talking to God. Being sincere about what I desire and where I am. And
mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he already knows, but he wants us to come to him and bring it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being sincere and praying, and God will always open my eyes or put something in front of me that kind of takes me back, takes my mind back, whether it's a TV commercial or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He'll use anything to kind of just take me back. And, you know, that really kind of helps me to stay passionate. But I would say the one thing would probably be just remembering the why and never losing sight of. I hear a lot of, growing up, I always heard people saying, you know, take me back to when I first believed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to go back to when I first believed. I never want to lose that eagerness
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from when I first believed.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I'm always thinking about when I first got saved.
Mm-hmm.
So that in looking at my actions now, do they align with that same energy,
mm-hmm.
with that same eagerness?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I keep on the forefront of my mind, the passion I had when I first believed, when I first got saved. I want to always have that
mm-hmm.
with better wisdom, better knowledge, better understanding, but that same passion, that same eagerness, that same drive. And so just thinking of always remembering the why.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. Very passionate. All right. I think we're almost out of time, but another lighthearted question. What is your favorite Christmas dish?
Christmas dish?
What is your favorite thing to eat at Christmas?
You know, that's I don't know if I can answer that because where my family works here, we kind of eat whatever. We don't really have dishes.
Okay, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
My favorite Thanksgiving dish. I guess you can say Thanksgiving and Christmas. One of my aunts, my auntie, she used to always make this chocolate chip pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always like to eat it when I was little. And then for some reason, she stopped making it. And so in the ninth grade, like, I got the recipe, and now I make it, and it's still not as good as hers, but that's a dish that I always associated with the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't make it all the time. She only made it, like, for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. So I guess I'd say chocolate chip pie.
Very good. Well, audience, I hope you feel like you know your host a little bit better now. That was kind of impromptu.
Yeah, that was real impromptu. She did that to me a lot, y'all. But You know, this, like we said before, there was no, this show was really free-flowing and just going wherever and the spirit led us. And just like Michonne just said, those impromptu questions, that's something God put in her spirit, and she just followed through. And but that's really what it's all about, because the Bible tells us to worship in spirit and in truth, and the truth is his word. But, you know, I found just through observation that a lot of times we either do one or the other. It's a struggle for us to have that balance. We're either, you know, so legalistic, as Michonne said before, in just doing what the word says. Well, show me that in the Bible. Where does it say that? But you have to allow, you have to take the truth of the word along with the spirit, God leading you through his Holy Spirit, and live accordingly. And for anybody out there who's not doing that, who hasn't welcomed Jesus Christ into your heart and given your life to him, now is the perfect time to do that. And this is your opportunity. I invite you to just repeat this prayer with me and welcome God into your heart so that you can truly live a life with value, with purpose, and on purpose. And so anybody who's listening, who hasn't accepted Christ or who has fallen from out of Christ, who have distanced themselves in their relationship with Christ, just repeat this prayer with me and welcome him into your heart. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sins. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the eternal life, the gift of eternal life that he promised anyone that came to him forward. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I want us to be the first ones to tell you all that just accepted Christ into your heart. Congratulations. Congratulations, and welcome to the team.
Welcome to the team.
Welcome to the team. Congratulations and welcome to the team. The name of the show is The Recruit, because that's truly what we are. We are recruiters for Christ, not just me and Michonne, but every single believer. We're all called to go ye therefore and make disciples. Like Michonne said, not acquaintances, but disciples, true disciples. We have to walk with and we have to share hard truths. We have to be able to be vulnerable and share things about us. But I welcome you all to the team, because we all help each other. And in any recruiting process, there comes a time of commitment, which is what you just did in that verbal commitment. But when you sign on a dotted line, the way you sign on a dotted line is in every day in the life that you live, because it's just simply putting feet to your faith and understanding that it takes more than just lip service to truly inherit the kingdom. And, you know, one of the things that I really want to point out about this show is how, just like Michonne and I, you know, us being newlyweds and still kind of trying to find our fitting and understanding each other and learning each other within these new stages of life and being married, we can still have fun. And we used to always say and joke around that we were total opposites. But the thing that keeps us together is our faith, because everything that we do is rooted and grounded in our faith, and in our faith, and not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're able to do something that is Christ-centered, but still be still have fun. And that's something I think is, I know just for me personally, I didn't think was possible in living for God. I don't know about you, Michonne, but that was just something I hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. Just somebody kind of just laughing, having fun, but still being serious about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to encourage anybody that it is possible. You know, God has not forgotten about you in whatever situation you're in, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're not even thinking about marriage, whatever your need is, God knows. But it just simply takes you allowing him to lead you and direct you. And I guarantee you he will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you put him first in everything that you do, he will blow your mind. All he needs is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Michonne, I just want to, is there anything you want to leave with our listeners that kind of stays on their heart or lingers in their mind?
You're being very silly right now. But I would probably leave you with saying that God has been placing on my heart is don't hustle for your worth. It's already there. Don't hustle for it. Don't try to earn it. Simply accept the Lord's love. Simply accept his free gift that he gives and allow him to use you, you know. And that's kind of where we are. So if you recruiters could be praying for me and our household, and we'll be praying for you just like we always are. But that's my encouragement, especially in this season of
hustle and bustle
and giving and Christmas and gifts and all that, you know, trying to outshine gifts and buy too expensive gifts and all that. Mm-hmm. Just don't hustle for your worth, you know. Find your worth in Christ, and that's the greatest peace that God has offered me within the last few months.
And I love that. That it's food for thought. It's just great advice. Don't hustle for your worth, because like she said, in this time, in this season of the hustle and bustle, this can be a time when we try to find our worth in the gifts that we give
right.
to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to show our worth and validate our worth in their lives
mm-hmm.
by the amount of money we spend on them or whatever it may be. But just understanding that the greatest gift has already been given.
Mm-hmm.
And we find our worth in that gift, in the gift of Jesus Christ. God gave us his son who died on the cross for all of us. And that is where we find our worth. So, you know, I just want to co-sign
mm-hmm.
with my co-host to not get lost in hustle and to not hustle for your worth, because you already have it. And so if anybody want to contact you, Mrs. Reese, how would they do that? If they had questions for you, just wanted to not get caught up in the hustle, but want some more advice, how would they do that?
I am on Facebook, Michonne Reese.
How you spell that?
M-I-C-H-O-N-E.
Ooh.
Reese.
Is that French?
And I'm on Instagram. My Instagram name is at It's Me Michonne. Literally, at It's Me Michonne.
It's her, y'all.
And my email is michonnereese@gmail.com. So if you have anything, any questions, or just simply want to talk, that's how I can reach me.
No, and you already know. You can get in touch with your boy. Hit me up on my blog. And AdrianaReese.com. You can leave me a comment or email me through that. But my email address is Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at AdrianaReese.com. And you can follow me or friend request me, whatever, on Facebook. Just search Adrian Reese. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at soul_fisherman. That is at soul_fisherman. And so just holler at your boy. And I have to reiterate that this is not my show. This is God's show. And so really, if anybody has ideas or questions or anything that you want to hear more about or you want to see in the future of the recruit, hit me up, send it in, whether it's to me or Michonne. If you're not comfortable, you know, reaching out to me, reach out to her, or vice versa. So just hit us up, because it's about we want God to speak to you, whether it's through us or through somebody else, but we want you to hear from God. And so at the end of the day, like Michonne said, don't hustle for your worth. And once again, you've been tuned into The Recruit, brought to you by Soar Radio with Adrian Reese and co-host Michonne Reese. Big ups to my man, PDP Richmond, once again. And we will be back tentatively 2 weeks from today. There will be more on that posted on my blog and through via social media. But until next time, hustle for your worth and be blessed and be real.